A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home. They never go home, those boys.
The second captain's
world service.
And I said, I want to win the league, but I want to win it better. You can understand that, can't you?
Yes.
Good lad.
So he's almost like having a second captain in the team.
Second captain, first captain, whatever.
We recorded a lot of the shows around Christmas and New Year from home. So today is our first day all back in studio together since pre-World Cup, I think I'm right in saying.
Wow.
And when
yes,
I say all, I'm talking myself here, Murph.
Yeah, hello there, everyone.
Simon over there.
Hey, fellas.
Hey, Si Ken, of course.
Hello, Owen, how are you?
And the great Ted.
He's not asleep in Ken's arms, but he's looking extremely contented.
Low energy.
Yeah, low energy.
Well, then,
low energy, Ted.
I think Ted low energy. Lion Ted over there. I think Ted expended all his energy in an incredibly excitable re-entry to the office.
Wow.
It was beautiful. It was beautiful to watch this morning. Did you miss us as much as Ken as much as Ted seemed to?
I did, and I missed you. I missed you seeing you guys, being around you, smelling you.
Mm. I didn't get a chance to lay my hands on you yet, Ken. Give you a big old hug and tell you,
maybe we'll do
welcome
that after
back.
This.
Well, you've had plenty of time. We've been here a few hours now.
Ah, yeah, but I just wanted to get his bearings
seize
before I let the big bear get his paws on him.
We managed to get 3 days into 2023 before considering what happens to the Irish rugby team in World Cup year when Johnny Sexton gets injured, Simon. But Sexton isn't the only player who we could maybe... We could do with having nice and fit around September, October time. I'm going to put our guest today, Andrew Porter, in that category.
Are you talking about wrapping him in cotton wool?
I'm talking about the untouchables, Murph. The ones you wrap in cotton wool.
Wow.
Yeah.
A lot of cotton wool required to wrap Andrew Porter, I'd wager.
Andrew Trimble, every time we bring up Furlong and Sexton, he goes, what about Porter too? And a big part of that is him moving to Loosehead, which only happened a little over a year ago. And he obviously started Loosehead, then moved to Tighthead and was seen as a constructed Tighthead. But moving back to Loosehead, it's sort of freed him up to do all the other stuff he does, like turnovers and carrying the ball. And it means our best three front rowers are on the pitch. Plus, we've had Sheehan come through now. So we've gone from like a front row that did a job and was a little more functional. And yes, we had Tyke Furlong, to now like ones that can make us into, they're sort of change makers to change the way Ireland play. And Porter's a huge part of that.
Before, well, we'll hear from him in a little bit. I did want to ask about the weekend's Pro 14, though. What's stood out to you?
Well, first of all, it's called the URC now, Owen.
Oh, my God.
Pro 14.
I literally did that on Premier Sports as well, live.
The Celtic League.
Yeah, yeah. Which is not great when they're rights holders, you know? And I'm promoing it. And in my ear, they're just saying... Did you say Pro 14? I was like, shit.
I couldn't possibly have said the board. Oh, wait.
I don't see the Board of Reavers results along there.
So, of course, the URC.
How are the Reavers going?
So, the big result again is Ulster. And Ulster losing. And losing late in a game they should have won. Benetton away. Benetton are actually quite good now. I think they're sixth in the table. But, yeah, lost it late, as they did against Munster. They have La Rochelle away next week, who just put a hiding on Toulouse. So... The thing is, we were talking about McFarland and how he's changed the province and made them really more fluid. And literally the second we said Ulster are now the second best province in Ireland and they now need to be looking upwards. Mm-hmm. Jason Leinster, that's the next step for them. Amazing backline. You know, they're picking
He says we.
Hume and Simon Ballacoon.
Simon definitely made that point.
And
the royal we.
Yeah.
MacFarlane seems to have gotten them to this point, and then Trimble again has hinted at this, that MacFarlane maybe isn't the guy to figure out the mental side of what Ulster have. And they're definitely a province, this is going back ages, where they just struggle mentally. It used to be mainly with Leinster, but then with big games in Europe as well, they'd sort of find a way to lose. And now they've lost 5 in 6, and all 5 of those, you could say, were horrible underperformances given the talent they have. They should have lost to Connacht well to make it 6 out of 6. And yeah, it's gone from, you know, us writing off Munster season and saying, what's next for Ulster, to basically swapping places where Munster are starting to look a little more solid, a bit more gritty, starting to actually put stuff together that Mike Prendergast looks like he's got some of his game plan come through, to the point where Ulster now are in free fall. Mm-hmm. And like, the fact that, like, there's different ways to lose, but the fact that they're in each one of these games, there's mental frailty, and maybe MacFarlane isn't the guy to fix it.
Before we hear from Andrew Porter, lots of reaction to the replaying last week of our old interview with Gianluca Vialli from 2007, when young Owen and young Ken had the pleasure of spending some time with the great Vialli. One bit in particular stood out to people.
Now, he went on to score 40 goals in 83 games for Chelsea, which is a fairly impressive record, I'd say, by anyone's standards. Ultimately, though, you were benched, put on the subs bench by Ruud Gullit. Now, we actually met Gullit a few weeks ago in Dublin, and we were chatting to him. He seems a nice enough guy, but there's a bit of a touch of arrogance about him. Did you find working with him, with you as a player and Gullit as a manager, that he could be maybe a little bit of an asshole at times?
A little bit of it?
An asshole?
Well, initially our relationship was good, but then he had to make decisions, and I didn't totally agree with...
What a beautiful laugh Gianluca Vialli had, we must say there, yeah. But
really took the high road, didn't he?
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
When faced with this sort of foul-mouthed questioning.
I did. I mean, at least I dropped in the fact that Vialli himself had a very respectable goal return by anyone's standards.
40 in 83, better than it now sounds.
Yeah, younger listeners would probably say 40. They couldn't even score a goal in every second game.
No, better than that. And of course, he wasn't playing all those minutes. You know,
no.
We need to see goals per minutes in order to judge that 40 in 83 more accurately.
That interview is available in full on the World Service. Now, Andrew Porter, Simon, talking to us today as part of the Tackle Your Feelings campaign, mm-hmm. which aims to help people be proactive about their mental health, as a free to download app that anyone can use.
Mm. Yeah, and he's kind of the perfect ambassador. He's been doing interviews for a couple of years now, and he's always very open in them. But one of the first interviews he ever did really was talking about how he lost his mum to cancer when he was 12. And then he struggled in school. That happened just as he was starting secondary school, and he struggled with his mental health, and he had an eating disorder. But before he even really made a massive breakthrough, he was doing interviews about this. So he's a guy who's obviously wants to speak openly, has always spoken openly. So he's a great ambassador for this campaign.
Here's Andrew Porter.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast. Alongside my good friend, John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Clotty getting for the try on the near side of the pitch. Oh, yeah, I don't believe it.
Ryan Clotty scores!
Oh my goodness!
And they've managed it. It's 22 each.
get a chance?
No. I genuinely would be happy with a 20-point differential.
What?
I think that would be a success, yeah.
Losing by 20 points would be a success?
Yeah.
Come on.
Losing by 20 points would be a success? Yeah. Come on.
Still running with the ball, Zeebo in a bit of space, and there's plenty of room too. All Blacks flying back in defence. Off it goes to Julian Savir. He can't go anywhere. 5 metre scrum.
Oh, what a play from Ireland! This is it, really. This is it for Ireland. They can put this one out of reach.
I do not expect them, unless they are demanded to by the referee, to release this ball from the scrum.
Less than 5 minutes. Here's Heaslip. Well, he picks it up quickly and off he goes. Drops it off to Henshaw. Robbie Henshaw scores it.
They did it. He bangs it down and oh my goodness, I think, dare I say it, this could be it for Ireland.
Handy conversion for Joey Carberry to make his contribution on debut. All Blacks charge. Up go the flags.
In the making, and they are really good for an Ireland. They deserve this, and what a night it's going to be.
What a triumph it is for Joe Smith, Kiwi boy, who's engineered some real history. Into the grandstand it goes. Ireland beat the All Blacks for the first time.
Andrew Porter, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
How are you doing?
Not too bad, yeah. Sure. Busy old Christmas, busy New Year's.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. You guys were playing right through.
Yeah, sure. That's nice to be kept busy, kept out of, keep myself out of mischief.
Yeah. I mean, Leinster have won every game in the URC, every game in Europe. Ireland won every game in the autumn. You obviously beat New Zealand in the summer. And you just got your 100 cap for your province. Not a bad first half of the season.
Yeah, like it's been very hugely eventful and incredibly rewarding. Like it's an incredible start to the season. But look, we haven't won any trophies yet, so that's the goal. That's what we're striving for. So
it's so strange for Leinster. Like nearly the better the first half of their season goes, the more people mention the end of the season, because it's like, oh, for Leinster it's binary. It's win the comp or nothing. It's kind of like Brazil in a World Cup. You know, we always say Brazil, they have two results in a World Cup. They either win it or they don't. There's no like, oh, we made a semi and that was good. And it's kind of getting like that for Leinster in Europe and the URC.
Yeah, like here, look, it's obviously incredibly disappointing end to last season, falling at the final hurdle in the Champions Cup and the semi-final in the URC. But we're definitely going to use that as motivation for this season. And I think with some of the performances we put out there, especially in our first two Champions Cup games, you can definitely see that from the team and from the lads. We're still hurting as a team. We still haven't forgotten that. And I think, like,
Do you use a previous season's results as a way to motivate yourself in the following season?
Yeah, I think you remember your losses. Well, personally, I remember my losses better than I remember my victories. So
Roy Keane style.
Yeah. You remember, like, they kind of stick out like a sore thumb for you. Like, so it's I think it's important to remember and kind of learn from those past experiences. But
when you go on an unbeaten run like this, and it's pretty rare for any team in any sport, do you get more relaxed as it goes on and almost forget what it's like to lose, or do you get more tense and like, oh God, we have to protect this unbeaten run?
You can choose to look at it in those two ways. Like, you can choose to let the kind of the pressure get the better of you and be like, oh, we got to keep this kind of streak going. But then you're just focusing on that. You're not actually just focusing on just playing the game. Like, you're just, it's a simple game at the end of the day. And that's what the coaches always just tell us. Just focus on the next game. Just obviously you want to keep winning, but like, it's something I've kind of, it takes discipline. Like, it's, it's something I take from the game, and I try to apply it to my daily life. Like, I try to, Stu Lancaster showed us a video of a Navy SEAL, and you probably seen it, telling you to make your bed in the morning. And that's the first task done out of the way, and then it kind of spurs you on to keep fulfilling the other small goals, and then they all culminate into kind of that feeling of fulfillment at the end of the day. So it doesn't seem so overwhelming then in the end.
Yeah, and I guess, Andrew, for yourself and for your teammates to be winning this much, you have to be enjoying your rugby on the field. And for yourself at the moment, playing loose head, but you're the sort of loose head that gets involved a lot in turnovers. You scored a couple of tries in New Zealand. You make a lot of tackles. You carry the ball when you can. What bit of it do you at this stage enjoy the most? Is it the same as when you were a kid and started the game, or does it change over time? Like, what is it at the moment that is your favorite bit of rugby?
It's strange. I can remember back to being like 8 or 9 years old playing for Old Wesley. My dad taking me down to Old Wesley, down in Donnybrook at the time. And I used to just love being confrontational. I used to love being physical. I was playing on the age group above me, because I was always the big kid when I was younger. So I loved throwing around a few scrum halves when I was younger. So I think it suits me. I think it's what I'm born to do, really.
Yeah.
You look at myself, and then you look at Jemison Gibson Park. Like, we're playing two different sports. He's a long distance runner. I'm a sumo wrestler, just kind of, or like a strongman trying to just shift a car or something. Like, we're playing two different sports at the end of the day. Like, realistically, it takes a certain type of personality, I think, to excel in this game, because you need to constantly be improving and constantly be getting better and have that kind of growth mindset and be able to take criticism, whether it's constructive or if you're looking, I try not to look into the media too much, but you're taking constructive criticism from your teammates, from your coaches, and it's about having that growth mindset, like I said, just to be able to kind of keep getting better and kind of keep adapting and keep trucking on.
Andrew, how close a correlation is there between how your rugby is going and how you're feeling in your day-to-day life? If the career is going well, do you automatically sort of feel good about things in the rest of your life? Or can it go vice versa? Can, you be feeling great in rugby, but actually things aren't so good on a day-to-day basis?
Yeah, it's something I try to... It's like I say, it's something that I've had to work on. It's tough to switch off sometimes when things are going badly in terms of that. But it's something that's I've definitely tried to work on and try to leave it at the door. Especially when I come home, try to kind of switch off from rugby and just mentally switch between, because when you're in training, you're always on. So if you're always on and you bring it home with you, you're just going to burn yourself out. So, and that's what I had done in the past, just overthinking things like that. And then it'd be just bleeding into other parts of your life that you just don't need. So, it's something that I would have, in the past, I would have read into everything about what people are saying about me. I would have cared, what's this person saying now? And what's that person saying? But now I just focus on myself. And,
yeah.
And that's something that, obviously, I'm launching the Attack Your Feelings campaign.
Yeah.
It's an incredible kind of well-being site that helps you to sharpen your mental tools, your mental skills. It's like a physical skill. It's like training and working on my passing or scrubbing or tackling. It's the same. You have to work on your mental skills as well. And that's kind of what's helped me distance myself from all those negative things that can kind of creep into your mentality sometimes. And that's also helped me kind of leave my job at the door. I think that's really kind of ended up in more enjoyment for myself in the game and outside the game.
Yeah. I've always noticed in your interviews, even from a young age, you spoke quite openly sort of about yourself and obviously about your mom naturally. Was that something that was always in you, that you felt you could speak openly about things that happened in your life and how you were feeling?
Yeah, like it's obviously something that had such a huge impact on me, and like I know I'm not special in the sense that I'm the only person this has happened to. This has happened to so many other people and worse. Like, but if I can share my experiences and how I dealt with it, and obviously I dealt with it kind of in the wrong way because I was obviously so young, and kind of articulate my way around the loss of my mum when I was 12 and how to deal with it and how to not deal with it, really. Like, it's if I can help one or two people in that sense from my own experiences, I'll take that, because you never know the effect you're going to have on someone, and the words you say can have such a profound effect on people. And
yeah,
that's why I think it's incredibly important to the TYF app was founded in 2016. Obviously it wasn't around when I sadly lost my mom. So that's why I think it's incredibly important for people. Because some people think, oh, I don't want to reach out to this person. They're going to think differently if I open up to them. They're going to think I'm weak or something. Like, that's that whole stigma around that. But yeah, if that leads you to being able to open up and talk to someone, that's exactly why the app is there. That's incredible. It's empowering, I think, for people to be able to take that step, that proactive step in their mental health. And I think especially with the TYF Schools campaign as well, it's getting more and more young people talking about mental health, which, I mean, when I was in school, which wasn't even that long ago, like, it just wouldn't have happened.
Yeah, because we spoke to James Lowe about this as well. He's obviously connected to the campaign. And I just wonder, how common is it now between sort of men of your age, not necessarily rugby players, but just, you know, amongst your pals, to bring something like this up, or say, look, there is an app, or there is a process, or there is, it's normal to feel this way, but there's something you can do about it?
I think it's become, since I started to where I am now, it's definitely come a long way. It's, I think, guys, especially from my own perspective, are definitely more comfortable about sharing how they're feeling, like, because there, it isn't this big thing where you'll be judged or ridiculed, like, especially in the environment we're in, because everyone's in the same boat there. Like, well, in terms of a professional sense, but some people could be going through something completely different outside rugby. Like, you don't know what's going on. And I think people are getting more and more comfortable with asking, like, oh, you okay? Oh, do you want to talk about it? Oh, no, you don't want to talk about it. That's okay. But I'm always here if you need to talk to me. That's the thing. I think it's more the sense of letting people know that you're there to talk to them, so they know they have an outlet. They have options, whether it's a person or an app. Yeah, they know they have that support network with them. Where when I was younger, I was like, I thought I was completely on my own. I felt like there was four brick walls around me closing in, and I felt completely alone when I had everyone there. I had every resource. I had my family, my friends, I had great support networks. I didn't have the TYF app back then, but I had so much there. And well, I think it's definitely a conversation that's getting easier to be talked about today.
How many years, so it happened, your mum died when you were 12. How many years was it before you could speak to people around you or speak publicly about it?
I honestly don't even know. I think it was when I first probably maybe broke onto the, like, when I first started kind of gained a bit of traction with, when I started playing rugby. I think that's kind of helped me. It's given me such a great platform to speak to people and to kind of, to share my knowledge, to share my own experiences to people that might be going through the same thing, if not worse. I can't pinpoint the exact time where I started kind of.
A long time though.
Yeah, it took a long time for me to actually be able to open up to people. And I knew the cause of why I was feeling, but there was so much going on around me that it was just like, if I did, I might not be here today, that kind of thing. But I got help through my family, through my friends. And I think just it's incredible to see and how much it's kind of transformed today.
Yeah, you're pretty good at talking about today, and we appreciate you taking the time to talk to us about it. And good luck with the season, the Wales game, World Cup, whatever's coming up for you.
Thanks very much, man.
Hello, Owen. I'm just back from the embassy.
The ambassador's receptions are noted in society for their host's exquisite taste that captivates his guest.
Monsieur, with these rochers, you're really spoiling us.
Well, I had some pâté. That's pretty French. Just canapés, man. You know what I mean? Complete absence of Ferrero Rocher.
Petulant.
A lot of culture. Good manners in football.
How many Ferrero Rocher did you shove down your gut?
This is why you didn't get invited. As if the French ambassador would poison my palate with a Ferrero Rocher.
Ugh. Monsieur, with these rochers, you're really spoiling us.
I was eyeball to eyeball with the French government's representative here in Ireland.
We had US Murph on last week talking about Damar Hamlin. Just a quick update on this. It's the Buffalo Bills player who suffered cardiac arrest in the Monday Night Football game last week. Thankfully, Hamlin's condition has improved markedly since that conversation with Brian on Wednesday night. He spoke to teammates on Friday, as posted, I think on Saturday, posted to social media. And watched from his hospital bed.
Live tweeted the game.
Yesterday, live tweeted as the Bills played the Patriots. In the Hollywood version of this story, the Bills would do something totally unbelievable with the opening play of the game. Like, I don't know, have one of their players catch the kickoff and run in a 96-yard touchdown or something.
Yeah, we'll keep everybody posted on Pittsburgh and Cleveland. Miami and the Jets were underway as New England decided to defer after winning the toss. And here's Hines on the run back, breaking a tackle and taking it past midfield. And down the sideline he goes. This is storybook, an opening kickoff return for Damar Hamlin, and this place is absolutely going wild.
I mean, come on.
I watched it on.
Yeah.
I watched it live because even when we were doing the TV guide on Friday's show, I said it, and then afterwards I was like, actually, that could be amazing. So they.
I love the way you get yourself excited by your own TV guide.
Well, sometimes
what
you're.
What Murph said there has really. Yeah, thinking about the weekend.
Again, can I just say, first of all, great journalism. And then second of all, I'm genuinely excited about this game. No, once I saw that the Bills were going to be live, I kind of turned on like maybe 15 minutes beforehand just to see, you know, because the Americans aren't, you know, they're not going to be backwards and, you know, pushing the emotional storyline to the front. So they broadcast the national anthem. Everyone's crying. The place is going absolutely mental before the kickoff. And I was like, you know. This is pretty good. This could be a pretty good first quarter. And then that happens. And the if there was a roof on that stadium, it would have been blown off. It was it was a genuinely unbelievable moment to watch.
And he did it again. Hines did that again later in the game, from even further back.
From 100. It was a 101-yard run in. So first time someone had scored off two kickoffs, off two kick returns in the same game since 2010. And it was the first Bills player in three seasons to score a run back. And he did it twice
I think they will be quite popular winners this year of the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I heard them described as everyone's second favourite team.
There you go. We're going to be talking GA tomorrow with Paul Flynn, including the retirement from intercounty football of Lee Keegan, who represented everyone's second favourite team in Gaelic football. Is that really true? A team that has captured the imagination, a player who captured the imagination, Lee Keegan, 33 years of age, retires. No great shock, although it does seem to be somewhat of a surprise, right?
Well, a bit of a surprise to Kevin McStay, who was very upbeat when he was talking about, we're very hopeful that Lee will return to us after their first FBD League game the challenge game against Sligo, actually, that they played last week. So even that is kind of an interesting angle to this you know, it would have been very easy for McStay to say, well, listen, we don't know. We're going to give Lee Keegan as much time as he needs to make his mind up. That's not what he said last week. So that alone kind of is an interesting angle to this. It may have come as a little bit more of a shock to Kevin McStay than, you know, because Keegan has been speaking kind of like this since, September, October of last year, that he would really have to sit down and have a big think about whether he was going to come back this year.
I'm always amazed at how managers don't and players don't communicate over these things and often have totally different interpretations of what's about to happen. And maybe it's a bit like Stephen Cluckson, you know, is a different case with Desi Farrell last year, but that caused him some issues over the last couple of years. And this isn't got, you know, look, he's just retired. It's fine. And McStay didn't think it was going to happen. But it seems quite interesting that that was only a very recent comment from McStay. And then suddenly, no, I'm gone.
Yeah, I suppose, well, you know, once you make the decision, it's made and then you announce it. So, you know, while he's still mulling it over, maybe
you're
McStay
not tell
thought
the manager
he could,
what's going to happen. Yeah,
yeah, and maybe McStay thought he could subtly apply a bit of pressure on, say that, you know, either way, it's the end of one of the all-time great football careers, without a shadow of a doubt. We'll get into it tomorrow.
We will get into that with Paul Flynn on the show tomorrow. In the meantime, thanks. I've got to thank everybody again. Thanks, Ted. Thanks, Murph.
Thank you, Ted. Thank you, Ken.
Thanks, Simon.
Thanks, Ted. Thanks, Ken. Thanks, Simon.
Thank you, Kieran.
Thanks for listening to Second Captains Podcast, part of the Acast Creator Network. You can hear the pod ad-free by becoming a member on secondcaptains.com.
What is that? That's the second time it's gone off.
They never go home, those boys.
The second captain's world service.
It is not war and death and famine. It's not that at all. It's the opposite of that. It's to persuade there's a world outside of that. That's why sport's important.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.